Well, I have a personal story to tell you tonight. Not my story, but a personal story nonetheless. And we're talking about the glorious concept of having a clear conscience and how important it is. So, as these committed, dedicated, consecrated people are headed to church there on a snowy night, we want to look at this concept of learning how to get a clear conscience. One pastor took this material to heart, began to apply it to his own life, and he tells us his experiences. He says, "I thought a clear conscience was the least of my worries until I was involved in learning this material. I have never cheated on a test or a reading assignment, not since high school anyway. I lived a clean life, even through the teen years. Since age 12, I have visualized myself in the ministry and have eagerly and conscientiously tried to know God's perfect will for my life. God has given me a perfectly wonderful wife, and we have made a happy adjustment in our married life." So he says, "I wasn't aware of conflicts with anyone." Well, anyone except my mother. For 10 years, I have struggled to resolve my conflicts with her. I had come to the place where I had resigned myself to these conflicts and was trying to make the most of a bad situation, I told myself. This is just my thorn in the flesh, I guess. Nothing I do will please my mother. I cannot do anything right. She doesn't seem to appreciate the fact that I am in the ministry. In fact, she has been very critical and cutting in some of her remarks. My letter of apology didn't work. One time in Bible school, I felt very convicted about the unhappiness that existed. I wrote a letter of apology, but she mailed it to my brothers and sisters to try to shame them into doing the same thing. This upset me very much. I felt that I had been wronged. My apology had not been accepted. Mother came to all my graduations and to my wedding. Each time there was an unhappy scene, a furious verbal battle, icy tension. Efforts to please her were misunderstood. All of these events had this dark cloud hovering somewhere on the horizon. I tried very hard to do the right thing, the Christ-like thing. Somehow I just couldn't avoid getting involved in an argument and saying things for which I was sorry. I kept asking myself why this was happening. How did I get involved? Why did I say what I said, or what I did? When will I ever learn to keep quiet? Why do I always feel I have to justify myself? I had resented my mother's advice. My years in Bible school did not help improve the situation. Mother had resisted my going to Bible school in the first place. She argued that I should get an education that would give me a job if I failed in the ministry. I resented her advice. I had received my call from God, and if I remained in God's will, there could be no such thing as failure. All the circumstances that led in the direction of Bible school were clearly the leading of God. I announced that I would leave home immediately if she so desired. I was determined to go to Bible school, even if it meant that she would disown me. I remembered a missionary speaker who visited our church who said that she had to leave her home for the cause of Christ, never to return again. I could do it too. I was willing to pay any price to be in God's perfect will. The Bible school counseling routine revolved around the usual concerns, the academic, the social, the spiritual, and the financial. In my senior year, I felt greatly depressed about my family relationship and about my failure in the letter of apology. One counseling dean advised me against going home that summer if I expected to continue my schooling. My nervous condition was at an all-time low. I could hardly drink a glass of water without spilling it. My shaking hands were a real embarrassment to me. A second dean advised me to get a job working with my hands for a year or so before continuing my schooling. However, college did seem to be God's best for me that fall. I spent the next 3 years at a small liberal arts college in a quiet Midwestern town where my nervous condition improved greatly. I got involved in the program and activities of a local church, and in the accepting atmosphere of that community of believers, I found myself in many ways. I dated occasionally, but was more concerned to get the most out of my studies. You come this way only once, I reasoned. After completing my college work, I felt led to continue my education in seminary. A counseling course there did help me to increase my self-awareness. The concept of God's unconditional acceptance struck a responsive chord in my hungry heart. Following graduation from seminary, I felt led of God to accept the pastorate of a small city church. I joined a group of the local ministers in a weekly fellowship. In our first year together, we took a personality analysis test that included the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory and the Draw a Person test. I don't know what that Draw a Person test. I had repressed my resentment. My first test revealed the following. You appear to have repressed some of your deeper feelings and are thus consciously unaware of some of them. Your early environment undoubtedly contributed to this, and you need feel no sense of guilt or inadequacy. However, you should try to discover your deep inner feeling, for they are a most important part of you. Subsequent tests also pointed to this problem of the deeper feelings. The group discussion did help me to become aware and give voice to my frustration, but somehow the insight I needed to give me victory eluded my grasp. My spiritual and emotional strength was being drained. Throughout my ministerial preparation and in the minister's fellowship, I tried to find a solution to the thing that was draining my spiritual and emotional strength. My tests told me, your feelings and thinking are not working harmoniously. My devotional and prayer life were at a standstill. Through the years, I made a nuisance of myself with my friends by giving my detailed descriptions of my frustrations and unhappiness toward my family difficulties. They listened politely and felt sorry for me. They learned to say, hi, but not, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Our minister's fellowship encouraged us to take a counseling course that included this material. During this course, we discussed the way to resolve conflicts with members of our families. Several new concepts were presented. I began to see my mother as a tool in God's hand. I've noticed on TV that the word tool is now being used for the word fool. This is not what we're talking about here. It was most helpful to picture each Christian as an uncut jewel and our parents as God's tools to chip off the rough edges so that the finest facets of the jewel may become visible. God knew I needed my family to chip off the rough edges of my personality. The idea that I needed to acknowledge to my mother that I had had a wrong attitude toward her and that I needed to ask her forgiveness for this was not an easy pill to swallow. My pride had blinded me to my own wrong. I had justified myself by feeling that my mother was mostly wrong. The concept of God's chain of command made sense, and it made me uncomfortable too. Could I honestly thank God for my mother? I reflected on my bitterness and unforgiving attitude toward my mother. Could I honestly thank God for all that I resented in my mother? After all, I'm not the only one who has trouble getting along with her. Desperately, I tried to salvage some justification for my behavior toward my mother. Finally, I surrendered and said, I thank thee, Lord. Please forgive my ingratitude. Next came the bitterest pill of all. I must seek the forgiveness of my mother. How should I do it? What would I say? I had apologized before and it had failed. She was 2,000 miles away. Should I make a phone call? That would be very expensive. It's been a while back. One rationalization after another still left me without an honest answer. She would not accept my apology. I was sure of that. I began the painful process of asking forgiveness. That afternoon, I shared one of my mother's recent letters with my counseling teacher in an attempt to identify the basic wrongs I had committed against her. He could see in it some of the unhappiness she felt toward me and other members of my family. Very carefully, we examined and identified the basic wrongs together. There was ingratitude, rejection of parental authority, pride, disrespect, and a failure to love as I ought. Here, in a matter of 2 or 3 hours, my entire lifetime was opened up before me. I could see that my first apology attempt did not hit the basic wrong. Then, too, my approach must reflect humility, free from any hint that I was wrong, but you were too. My heart was heavy for several days as I prayed and thought through the entire matter. I worked out what I was going to say. I wrote it out on paper, complete with pauses. Then I called my mother long distance. After itemizing each basic offense to mother, I said, "Mother, I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" My mother was so surprised, she hardly knew what to say. I was not sure that she understood, so I repeated the question, "Will you forgive me?" To this day, I can remember her saying, "Yes." However, after the phone call, I was still not completely at peace. What if she wrote to my brothers and sisters and told them? What would they think? Would they understand? One call led to several. At our next minister's meeting, I shared my experience and my dilemma with my counseling teacher. We discussed the possible feelings of my brothers and sisters toward me. I could see now how my attitude toward my mother had hurt my testimony as a minister of Jesus Christ. I did not deserve their respect. All day long, I wrestled with my teacher's prescription, a series of phone calls. Wherein had I wronged them? Had I identified the basic wrong? Was my attitude right? Was the time right? I made the series of calls. When I talked to the brother who lived nearest my mother, I inquired about her welfare. His answer came as a thrilling report. "I don't know what you did. I have never seen her happier in her life. Usually I hear a constant flow of complaints about her health. All day Saturday while I was there, she never offered one complaint. She said you would ask her for forgiveness. This was an answer to prayer. You don't know what this means to me." That's what the brother said. What a relief. I fully expected to receive a letter from Mother reflecting all the former unhappiness she felt for me. It was not unusual to receive a 10 or 12 page letter within a couple of days after she had received a letter from me or talked to me. The 10 page letter did not come. In fact, it was 2 weeks before I heard from her at all. When she finally did write, her 2-page letter was completely free of bitterness and unhappiness. This experience became a new beginning for me. All my brothers and sisters assured me of their forgiveness. My heart was and is overflowing with the joy akin to the new birth. I enjoy a new sense of God's presence, a new awareness of a clear conscience, a new capacity to love, and a new sense of purpose. I thank God for this new light that I have received. So, rather amazing concept how something as simple as asking for forgiveness and receiving it, how big a change that can make in a person's life.